Recording. I was going to start with the Chidushei Rabbi Reuven. Did anybody work through it carefully enough for?
No, and I went through through all of Aleph and first couple paragraphs of Beis.
Yeah. Do you have general thoughts on it?
Yeah, there's the questions. I thought the analysis was really good. I think he presents the classic raid very well. I think he makes a critical logical flaw, just misstep in one of his first couple paragraphs, which he's basing his entire question on, which kind of a little bit undermines the force of the question. But in Beis, where he gives his theory, I think the theory and solution is actually a very nice, very reasonable, not too mechudash, but solves the problems. That was kind of my general impressions.
That's great. So why don't you tell us about your issue with the first section?
Yeah. Okay. So just a quick rundown of the piece. Should I share? Do you want to share?
Are you able to share, Zachariah?
I'm not sure if I have permission. No.
Probably not. I could share.
Hey, Mark, can you
Yeah.
throw it up on your screen?
Yeah, give me 1 second. I'll pull it up and then here we go. Okay, go for it. Just tell me where you want me to scroll to.
Yeah. Okay. So the first paragraph, he's just kind of giving the raid on what's the how does the riff read the sugya? That's conventional. And then the second paragraph, just going down a little bit. Right. And then he gives lays out a basic chakira of okay. Well, we can view. How do we understand the chi of Pshia? Do we view it as the Maisa Pshia Machayev Aso? That's option one, both in terms of time and the Magorim of the chi, the cause of the chi of is the Pshia itself. Or do we view no, that the Machayev is the Hezek, the damage that happens afterwards? And however, just only Hezek that happened through Pshia, that's the kind of Hezek that we care about. That's how I
Right, so
understand it.
this is like the Rabbi Kiviger type, Chakira that's been dominating the analysis of the sugya. Is it the Pshia or is it the resultant Nezek? And he just has a nice formulation. The next Yanan, Gufa, right? So it's like the Pshia, as they would say, the Pshia Alain, the Pshia itself.
Yeah, and there's I think the strongest possible formulation you could give for that.
Correct, correct.
Which is fine, when he's laying out the initial spectrum.
Right. He even says over here, from Abaye Shita, blah blah blah. It's the Maisa Hapshia Lechuda Mechayavas, right? Which is all nice and fine. Okay, so go ahead, Zachariah.
Right. So he walks through. So he says. So then he pins. He says, "Oh, he pins these shittos on Abaye and Rava." Abaye thinks Maisa Hapshia Mechayavas, and that's why even Ones Lo Machmas Pshia Abaye will be comfortable with. On the other hand, Rava believes in the chayv is the nezik itself, and that's why he needs an ones which is qualified by the which is machmas, and that's like
Correct.
works really nicely into the riff.
Correct.
That's
Actually,
the
and I
question.
actually think one of the important things about this piece that I think later on he walks that back, if I'm not mistaken. I think later on he reads the Pshia Mechaivaso, at least some version of that, into Rava, which I like. But we
Yes,
could
he applies. It's such a like just a Swiss Army knife is Svara, his final answer.
So we'll come to that in a second. But that's just an important thing that I like about his analysis. And then, of course, there's the classic move that Kiviger did on the bottom here in the Aval paragraph.
Yeah, so what's going on over there? So here's the step by step. So Tosfos on Sinai Gimel discusses the case of Tchilaso B'Gneiva Veda, the Sofa B'Ones. Tosfos is convinced that we paskin Pater. To such a case. In other words, we distinguish between Tchilas of the Pshia, the Sof Bonus, and Tchilas of the Gnei Veda, the Sof Bonus. Right? We view those as different things, even according to Rava. So here's a problem. So this is really where I want, actually, maybe let's just read inside here, but if you go to my going to the top of that paragraph there. So this paragraph is where I had an issue. Maybe do you want to, should we just read through it? Is that, or should I?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. So, Aval, Hine Tosos, Bedaf Tzadik Gimel, Kasu, Tetchilaso Ke'in Ganeva Leveda, with the Shomer Safar, the Sofer Ba'ones, Lomachai. The Nira Beiro, Mishum, de Bepshia, Ki Atzma HaMechayeves, Umishum Hachi, Afilu Sofer Ba'ones, Nami Chayev. Aval hapshia dikiniva aveda. Just first of all, that's a great phrase. As in shia is kind of a category. So hapshia dikiniva aveda ain maisa hapshia atzma machayaves. Elat hazek shenasa alidei pshia skiniva aveda chayav alav. Bal korcha alkein kistofa baones she behazek hazeh lo pasha klal pa. Okay, so he says pretty much just apply, you know, and all you have as a hammer. Just apply what we said. And Shia is different because it's Atzmo Hamchayiv. And Ve'aveda is more conventional and you're high for the Hesed.
Right. So his point is that you need true Shia in order to be Chayiv qua pure Shia.
Yeah,
he alone is mechayev. It has to be genuine pshia. Can't be gneva aveda type pshia. That's the theory.
Yeah, he says he expands on this a few lines late, in a bunch of paragraphs later, where he says, "Oh, well, you know, gneva aveda, they're not mikre pshia, they're mikre onus, and you only really need something. It's like a ksas al yedei ha pshia shal gneva aveda. The damage happens.
Yeah,
as in he's already sensitive to the tenuous connection between the gneva the your." Lack of protection against Gnei Aveda and the event of the Nether.
Yeah, I'm going to talk a little more about this. We're going to see some interesting sources about this. Is Gnei Aveda Pshia? We'll come back to that in a little bit. Yeah, good stuff.
Okay, fine. So then he brings the Rebbe Akiva Eger. So he says, Chimatzasi Shehizbir, Chkush Rebbe Akiva Eger, Vasham Hizbir, Gamkin, Bepluxa. X is Mikri Y. Okay. I mean, it is like in the Gemara. But yeah. Vasham his beer gum came to Pluksa the Abai Varabal Shitas Arib. Kamosha Kasafti Lail. Because of Dilfiza, Lo Shayf Zahachilok being Shia Mamish, Le Shias. Okay, I'm just ignoring that for a second. Lo Shayf Zahachilok being Shia Mamish, Le Shias Gneva Veda. Right, so this is saying that Rabbi Akiva Eger actually disagrees with the Sosos, right? He says that if we're reading this Gemara like the Rif, and Rava doesn't distinguish between Shia and Gneva Veda, then he should feel very comfortable with Tzchil Sof Shia Sof Bonus.
So there's this issue here about whether Tosos, the point is that Tosos' distinction between Tchilas of Shia and Tchilas of Gneva Veda should only work out according to Abaye, on the theory that Abaye is the true Shia guy, and Rava is all about Kulo, you know, Bechir.
Yeah, okay, fine, yeah. Okay, El Abaye, the Mechai, the Sof Ba'onas, Afilu B'Shalopa, Machmas Pshia, Dilididei, B'Pshia Mamesh, Hapshia Hiya B'Shia Mechai Vasa. Avala Rava, Ala Hezek Hu Dechayev, Gam Bipshia Mamish. Ella disvirle de loba inan pasha biha hezek, ella kolsha hezek, mishum hapshia, hu puba, shia mikre, imkain. Okay, fine. So, in other words, and therefore, the classic view of Rava, that he doesn't think the pshia itself is mechayev, he thinks that a prior pshia transforms the onus into being mikre pshia.
Right. So the point is here is that if you buy the Rabbi Akiva Eger analysis of the significance of Tchilasa Begneva Veda Sofa Ba'ones in Pator, that should only be true within Shitas Abaye. It shouldn't work out with Shitas Rava. Right? That's the point.
Right. So Rava's, yeah.
Yeah. Because Rava's not a Pshia man. Rava's just about, oh, if it's Tchilasa Bechiev, then like the Chiev was Gorim the Ones, and it's Sofa Bechiev also, right?
So, which is so far so good.
Yeah, so far so good.
Okay. Imkain, Bipshia Degneva Va'aveda, Nami Yischaiv Be'ones Haba Machmas Pshia Zo. So since Rava has this idea of like, say, you know, action modifier, you know, where the prior action of Pshia or action of Shia modifies the later event of Ones, that Svara is equally applicable, he argues, to Tchilasa B'Gneva Veda, the Sofa B'Ones. And therefore, that's one step, which I kind of want to come back to. And then the next step, I think, is really problematic. Okay, so he says, Hine hatosos hari los virle achi. But Tosos clearly doesn't believe that, right? Because he says the Rava thinks Rava does distinguish between tchilas of gnei veda and tchilas of kshia. So hari los virle achi Tosos kasu zos ledina the tchilas of gnei veda the sofa baones pater. V'hainu afil liti dan the kaimalant the tchilas of kshia the sofa baones. Eino chayev ela baones haba ma'achmas kshia. The ode, the Lashita Satosos.
Right. So the point here is that it, assuming that Tosos is saying this Ladina, that Chasvig Neva Veda Sofa Baones is Patur, and they're not saying it within Shita Sabaye. Shita Sabaye is just an academic Shita, right? We paskin like Rava. So assuming that Tosos is making this statement Ladina, it's got to be true even within Rava's Shita. And if it's true within Rava Shita, then there's some then there's a problem with Rabbi Kibaker's analysis.
Right? Yeah. So right. If I understand his argument, if I can kind of sum it up, kind of in short, he argues as follows. So there are two possible justifications for Tchila Sobe Pshia Sofa Baonis. Option one, this kind of idea, Pshia Atva Mechayeres. Option two, kind of what I call like, you know, action modifier, as in if you do an earlier action, that'll modify a later event, right? According to this analysis, you know, if you believe Pshia is a Mechayev, you also think that's the mechanism of Tchilas of Pshia Sof Baonis, right? You know, kind of like Occam's Razor, like you don't need extra starter. So Baye doesn't believe in action modifying. In addition, if you, this has an Afkamina, as in if you believe the Mechayev is because of just Pshia Atmo, you'll think Pshia is unique, and you won't extend it to Gnei Veda. You can't. If you think the Mechayev is action modifier, I think he's arguing, you must extend it to Gnei Veda, because it is indistinguishable from Pshia. That step is very
right, subtle. Right. Or the idea is just that, you know, Kol Shet Chilaso B'Chiev and Sofo B'Ptur, and the Chiev brings about the Ptur, we view the whole thing in like the action is modified by Chiyuv, something along those lines.
Okay. Just,
you want to distinguish, right?
Yeah, as in I don't see as in it's as in it goes in the other direction. As in he's taking A implies B, since B, therefore A. As in he says, if you hold Gneva Veda the Sofa Onas is Chayiv, you clearly hold of action modifying, right? There's no other way to explain that. Right? But he holds, since Rava holds that since Tosos claims that Tila Sabineva Via Sofa Onas is Pater, therefore it must be that Rabba holds Pshia is the Machayev. It's like, no, like there's other ways to distinguish, even if you believe in action modifying.
As yeah, like, I mean, you could be
action modifying. You know, I just feel like it's like just a basic if then mistake.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying you might have an in between view where you're Tchilasa, only certain types of Tchilasa B'Chiev could result in a Chiev on its Sofa Bonas, right? So, like, something like that, right?
Yeah, as in if you want to say action modifying, you want to say this idea, it's very reasonable to say it by, you know, the severe Pshia, you know, Pshia Kamazi, he thinks there's some sort of active component to it, and not by Gnei Veda, which is more Kal, and it has much less active components, and just like, there's many, many valid reasons to distinguish. I don't think this is me like butting in saying, oh, you could make a Chiluk, and you could say, I think it's just like just not logically Mukhraf to walk in this direction.
Right, it's interesting. Let's come back to this objection to his analysis. But what move does he make in light of it?
Right. So just like to, I guess the bottom line of this question is, the Gemara in Sadi Gimel, the toast was there. It teaches us that Rava thinks Pshia is unique. The Gemara on Laman Gimel or whatever it was teaches us that Rava thinks, Pshia is not the Mechayev. That's the steer. So I think.
Right. So what does he say in light of that? What's the conclusion that he wants to draw? What's his umuchach mizah that he has here in this paragraph, I think is important?
Umuchach mizah, degam l'rava, bipshia, mamish, maisa, hapshia, he shemechayabes. Right, that's exactly the kicker. So from the fact that he patters tchilas of Gneva Veda, that shows he thinks she is unique and is Atzmo HaMechayiv.
Yeah.
That's the only grounds for not extending it to Gnei Veda.
Yeah, Right. Exactly.
I don't think I'm being ungenerous. I think like this is like, that's his move.
Yeah, it could be. I have to think more about how problematic the move is. So I want to think more about your point. But what I found significant about this discussion is he's the first that we've seen who, so everybody that we've seen so far wants to limit the theory of Pshia Kimazik, I'll just use that phrase, to capture the Chi of four Pshia, is limited to Shitas Abaye, who doesn't require Onus Haba Machmas Pshia. What the Chidusha Reuven does is that he thinks that even Rava has to buy into, even Rava who requires Onus Haba Machmas Pshia, he's really a Pshia as a Mechayev person. And then, of course, you just have to finesse the Tzarech Lahavin, the Imkena, my Pater Bo'oni Shalobai, the Apshia. And he has some story to tell, right, why that's true. But what distinguishes Rabbi Reuven's analysis from the other Achronim is for all the other Achronim, the Ones Haba Machmas Apshia requirement shows that you're not really a Chiv on the Pshia, for the Pshia person. The causal connection, the Ba Machmas, is supposed to show that, like, oh, the initial Pshia that brings about the Ones vitiates the thing as being an Ones. It's not an Ones at all in light of the original Pshia. And Reuven's point is, no, even Rava, who requires Ones Ba Machmas Pshia, he's a true Poshea Kenazic person. There's just these, like, external considerations that explain why even a true Pshia as a Mechayev theory would require Ba Machmas. Is that right, Zachariah?
Yeah, and he says this in the question here, but he holds that Lamaskana.
Exactly. Do you remember off top of your head what his theory is why he requires Ba Machmas?
How he justifies it?
Yeah, why does he think Rava requires Ba Machmas if... He's a person.
Right. So I think that's like the second paragraph in the Bayes section. I want to scroll down to there.
Sorry.
The short version is kind of the language Noah and I use is this kind of, there's two ways to say the words, the Pshia is the Machayev. You could say that as in once you do Pshia, it totally liquidates the object, Kamle Bershusve, Zakfala Bamalve, you owe the entire value of the object instantly. And okay, if you give it back, and that's a tashlumin you could do. Like, I think we saw that language
like a reisha chalafanecha type thing.
Yeah, that's one formulation, and that's the assumption in the question. That's the basic understanding of chiyuv. He gives a different understanding of chiyuv. Not as a, let's say the object's $100, not that it can instantly hit with a $100 bill, like a bill for $100, but rather you it opens a running tab, as in the chiyuv, starts at zero, and you are chayev for what? You're not chayev for the object existence. You're chayev for nezikin that happened to the object. That is your tab. It's opened. The chiyuv has begun. It just has a content of zero right now.
Yeah, it's like a pending charge on your credit card. You know, like sometimes you swipe a credit card, and then it's like a pending charge, and they fill in the amount later, right? Yeah, or close in school.
Can you explain what that means?
An eggshell rule or something like that. You know, it's like the eggshell's cracked and now we're just going to see all the juice pour out at some point. Now we're...
I thought it was like a murder thing. Like if someone has like a very thin skull, you have to like be careful about it. I don't know. Something...
I think the idea is that the act of... The thin skull rule is a Poshea Kimazik-esque principle that like... Once you traduce somebody's rights, you're kind of broadly liable. Your intrinsic qualities, your intentions or whatever become irrelevant. And what becomes relevant is the outcome of the traducing of the rights.
Yeah. What do you think of this formulation? I think I have it here. 1 second. Yeah, he says.
Who's this Itamar?
This is still in the Chisha Reuven. Look at he says. Kivan she'enza ella chiyuv lehischayev binizakav. An interesting formulation, right? It's like the chilasa b'pshia or poshea kemazik in this modified formulation isn't like the hardcore, like, oh, you're Pochea and like everything is front loaded. No. Like what's front loaded is just like to be liable. And so he calls it a chiyuv lehischayev. So it's not like the chiyuv and the amount of the chiyuv is all cashed out in advance. It's like the chiyuv lehischayev is what's triggered Mishas Apshia.
A little shame to you, Mahaya.
Something like that, right. That's right. Comment on this?
Yeah, so I mean, that's how he explains what is going on. That's the chiyuv. And then, okay, so now we're still stuck with the problem of, okay, so why are you putter for onus, shalopa, machmas, pshia? So with this, he introduces another element to the story. He introduces the idea of batel pshia so, right? So we generally have the idea that this is a shomer, and he's negligent for an hour, but then he goes and he re-seizes the reins. Perhaps, I'm not sure about the din, but I'm just saying perhaps, it might be that, okay, he's back on charge, you know, it's like it never happened, the pshia has been canceled, he's not going to end his normal protections, and shomer chiyuvim return. That's generally like batel pshia so.
Exactly. So,
over here is kind of interesting because when he's Pochea, he earns a running tag for things that are due to his pshia. Well, not quite. When an onus happens that has nothing to do with it, it's almost like trivially true that the tab is closed. Why? Because the object isn't like it has been destroyed by something else. This is kind of a slippery formulation. I'm not really sure how he kind of said, like, oh, if the onus happens lo machmas, well, your pshia is batel because for some reason.
Yeah, and then sometimes he calls this like chazara, meaning it's like he uses like a cheskas chiyuv from your pshia, and then when the ones occurs shelo machmas apshia, that's like a chazara, meaning it's like you gave the item back or something. It's like you paid back the loan, right? There's like you close the door on the original pshia, which is just a complicated way of saying that somehow you're able to walk back the pshia, or the pshia wasn't legally relevant, something along those lines, right?
Right.
He wants to preserve the notion that Rava is like a true Pochea Kemazik, just with like a complicated theory of Chazara that you could kolsa le pshiaso if something else causes the harm.
Right. And the benefit of having this independent, separate, complicated theory is that you can do the logical move known as just say no, as in Abaye could just say, I agree with everything you say, except for that complicated thing you just made up about batel pshiaso.
Right, right.
And for my Kenev Avedu, we can say, oh, I agree with everything you said, except for that you think it's not batel in these cases.
Exactly.
As in it gives you immense flexibility to deduce every single shita in the sugya.
Yeah, and that's why he thinks that, I think what's important, and I want to take away from this, is that he reads into Shitas Rava this notion of Pochea Kemazik, which is nice because you get then even Ladina. It's not just like a quirky view of Abaye. This theory of Pochea Kemazik or some variation of it has much broader currency in the Amorai, right? Great. Thanks for taking us through that, Fushir Rubin.
Any other good stuff later on? That's literally where I just stopped, like today.
There's some fine stuff in there, mostly on, his analysis of the Ein Yodea in Praticha versus Ein Yodea in Nischayavti is interesting. We covered some of that in the last shiur, right before, in the last Kabur, right before Pesach. So I don't think we have to get back into that discussion. We'll see. I'll mention it quickly again in the Yor Sameach.
There's also a Mazik discussion, right?
Yeah, I'm going to get to that also in a second. Yeah, separately. I transcribed that part into the source sheet. Great. Thanks for taking us through that, Chushir Rubin. By the way, a little known trivia fact, Chushir Rubin is like somehow on the foot in with Rav Lichtenstein.
You know on the what?
He's like on the foot in with Rav Lichtenstein.
Oh.
Oh, because...
Who is Rav Rubin, by the way? Who is it?
Rav Rubin Brzovsky. Was the
he's a Panovitcher?
No. He's a Chaim Berliner.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry, not Chaim Berliner. He's
Torvidas.
So
Ravitzi is married to Like
yeah, his granddaughter.
Granddaughter. Oh right. Yeah. Oh yeah. That yeah. Rav Khan told me this. Yeah.
Which, by the way, makes sense why he took over Tar Vadas, because he has the legacy from Rav Reuven. That's a good.
It wasn't because of actually in the Tar Vadas announcement, they didn't only mention the Rav, they mentioned Rav Aharon. They even said like Harav HaGaon or whatever, which as somebody once said to me is the equivalent of saying Mister. But but yeah, no, he's married to an important person's granddaughter or something.
Reuven. Right. Cool. The person we were just
yeah, no. Reuven. By the way, you know, never mind. I have a complaint about Mishpacha magazine, but it's not for now.
All right. Well, we'll hear your complaint out later. Okay. So I want to pick up on Reuven's analysis. He spends a lot of time in that piece when he tries to cash out the notion of he uses this analogy of the Chezkas Chiyuv in like an In Yodea Mischayavti versus In Yodea Mechzarti discussion. We spoke about this before Pesach. I'll mention it again very briefly. But I saw, Evan, you had a hand up before, Evan, when you were going through the Rebbe Reuven.
Yeah, it was just to motivate Zecharia's point about like sort of the gray area between Geneva, Vaveda, and Pshia, in that the premise of the question is that there is some gray area, even in Abaye. So I agree with Safari. Like it's weird to just say like, sort of just draw a line in the sand and say like, oh, well, you know, if you don't hold X, then Y, when it's not even so clear, it's sort of fuzzy in the outset why you would differentiate between the two. I think there's also Cole's point, like the whole Mikre, like you should have. But the fact that we were saying like, oh, Pshia, Mikre, Geneva, and vice versa, like that's clunky at best.
Yeah, it's a good point. I wanna revisit some of this in the next few minutes about this relationship between Geneva, Veda, and true Pshia, right? Which is what you're getting at, Evan. Yeah, so like what's the relationship between those two? We're gonna spend a few minutes today looking at that discussion. I'm hoping that we're gonna wrap up all of Chesed Pshia Sof Bonis today. I'm very excited because we're gonna move on to fresh pastures next week, but I'm gonna mention that briefly in the next few minutes. So just to refresh your memory, the Or Sameach in this game Mamon Perek Tes has two important points. Point number one is just again about motivating the notion of Trilaso. What does it mean that there's a Machayev for the Pshia? And he uses this very helpful analogy in Hilchos Malveh V'Loveh. Shmuel, you'll recall this from before Yontif. Does anybody remember the distinction between Ein Yodeam Nischayavti and Ein Yodeam Praticha? So you have a Love, right? It's somebody who borrows money, and the Malveh says, pay me back, right? So if the Love says Ein Yodeam Imparaticha, then he's chayav to pay. Right. If he says, I don't remember if I paid you back, because he concedes that there was a loan. So there's a kind of a cheskas chiyuv. We know he's chayiv. Now he's trying to make a claim to exempt himself. So the chazak is against him. But if he says, Eini odem nischayavti, I don't remember ever taking a loan from you, then he's pater, because we don't have any independent verification of the loan itself existing. There's no cheskas chiyuv. Does this ring familiar? So the Chidusha Reuven and the Or Sameach say that Chilasa Bipshia Sofa Ba'ones is like that analogy, is like that halacha. So he says over here, just look at the Or Sameach's formulation of it. This is the Or Sameach in Niskim Amin Perek Tes. He says, Maschel mitchilas hapshia maschil hachiyuv. The chiyuv, there's like this cheskas chiyuv from the moment of the pshia. Raki Isrami Onsen Acharka Chave Kichazara. And it's just like when an ones occurs later, then that's like undoes the Pshia, similar to what Reuven was saying. Lachin. Im Eino Yodua, so if you have, he's talking about a case of a Shoel who's Poshea, and then an ones occurs. He says, Lachin Im Eino Yodua, Chave Ki Eino Yodea Im Hechzarti. if you have a shoel who's posheya, and then we're not sure if an ones occurs, so we're not sure if we machayev her to potter him, that's like a suffix of chazara in your day and praticha, and he's chayev. Because there's a chezka schiev already from the fact of pshia. Does everybody see that? Meaning, even though if an ones occurred, he'd be potter, the fact that we know there was pshia, which is valei chiev, and it's only a suffix ones, so suffix ptur, that then we rely on the vadai cheskas chiyuv to machayev him. Okay? And he thinks that's the idea of tchilas of pshia sof bonus. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. And Reuven runs with that analogy. I could actually, I'll take 1 second just to read the Reuven inside. So give me 1 second. Even though we covered this before, I'll do everyone a tova and review it very, very quickly. He said here, Gamian and Muka Yose Perka Goza Lumachiro, Muchach Shemaisa Hapshia Hia Mechayeves, Shekasav Divishoa Chamor Rumesa, Enio Dea Machmas Malacha, Pater. So if you're Shoa Chamor and it dies, and you're besuffic whether it's Machmas Malacha, so Havale Ke Enio Dea Mischayavti. There it's like a suffic Chiv, Kivan Chain Hashoa Chayev Ad Shas Onsen. So if there was no pshia, and there's a suffix about whether it's mesa machmas malacha for which you'd be putter, there we say that you're putter because it's enyo damnis chayavti, right? We don't know whether it was mes machmas onsen or mes machmas malacha, so there's no reason to be machayavti. It's all a suffix chiyav. But however, and this is the kicker, kishe pasha hashoel, when there's real pshia, Kigon sheshal la'atzmo v'nasno l'shlucho v'acher kach adavar safek in mesa mishum hapshia oshem mesa machmas malacha chayiv shaharehu mischayiv mishas pshia v'asafek sheacher kach havele kein yodeim paraticha. Everybody see that? Very beautiful distinction that he quotes in the Nimuki Yosef, that both cases are really safek about whether there's chiyuv. In a case where it's a safek ones, safek Mesa Machmas Malacha, your potter. Because there's no Vadai ground to be Machayev. But when there's Shia, and then when it's Shia with a suffix Mesa Machmas Malacha, then it's like Eini Yodeim Nischayav, then it's like Eini Yodeim Paraticha, and you're Chayev because the Shia itself is sufficient grounds to hold you Chayev. Everybody see that? Any questions on this point? Very important. Very important way that both Reuven and the Or Sameach are cashing out or interpreting the notion of Tchilas Pshia Sof Bonus. Okay. Everyone fine with that? Questions? Sounds good? Just give me a nod if that sounds good. Okay, everybody see how the Tchilas Pshia makes into a Cheskas Chiyuv, yeah? Okay, great. Cole? Sounds good. Okay, excellent. Now, I want to transition here into the Nezikin question. A lot of the Achronim who embrace the Poshea Kemazik theory or the Poshea Kemazik interpretation of Tchilas Pshia Sof Bonus Chayiv, meaning the people who accept the theory that you're liable for the Pshia, Kim'at Pe Echad assume that this is more conciliatory with Shomrim than with Nezikin. To my mind, it's a strange hang-up of that camp of the Achronim.
Kevin? Can you just repeat the last sentence?
Well,
of the theorists, what's that, Cole?
I think I can defend the hang-up, but clarify what you... Clarify what you just said.
Let me just introduce it, and then let's see what they say, and then you could defend their view against the criticism. So of the theorists who buy into the Poshea Kemazik theory, or I say most of the theorists who buy into the Poshea Kemazik theory of Tchilas Pshia Sof Bonus, that you're liable for the Pshia, they think this theory works nicely with Shomrim. They think it makes sense that a Shomer should be liable for his Pshia. But they find it difficult to extend that theory to Nezikin. They don't like the notion that a tortfeasor or an agent, whatever, could be liable simply for imposing a threat or imposing an unreasonable risk on somebody else's property until there's actual damage. See that, Evan? That's going to be the camp in the Achronim. So let me give you an example. So Meir Simcha says, Halo Matsanu. So this is right after he quotes this view that Chilasa Bipshia is like Mishas Hapshia Mas Chilafiyav. Here, this formulation. So he said, Mishas Hapshia Mas Chilafiyav. He says, well, wait a second. Halo Matsanu de Hagimara Midamet Chilasa Bipshia Besofa Bones. In Nezikin cases, right? Midame Hadipligi Gabe Shomer Linezikin. The Gemara extends these to Nezikin cases. We'll see two cases where the Gemara extends it. Chaf Aleph in Bava Kamma and Nun Hei in Bava Kamma. Okay. He says, therefore, when the Gemara extends it, Imkein Hayaroi Lios Bimisapgalanim Hizik. Whenever we have a case of Nezikin where there's Vadai Pshia, but Safik Nezek, Kivan She Pasha Shaloshamro, Hayaroi Lios Chayiv Kimo Gabi Shomer. We should apply this theory to Nezikin and say whenever there's Safek, whenever there's Vadai Pshia, Safek Nezek, we should hold the tortfeasor liable. Does everybody see that? That's the suggestion, because Mishas Hachiyav Mischayiv, and then if he wants to show that his thing didn't cause the animal, he should have the burden of proof to exempt himself. But he says, Vizesh Sheker. But that's clearly not true. It contradicts certain Mishnayis. You know, this Mishnah Lamed Beis, where you have two Shvarim, both of which were not watched, apparently. We don't say that since there is Vadai Pshia, you're Chayiv, even if it's a Suffolk, that you're sure caused the harm. Okay? However, he does acknowledge, interesting point, he acknowledges that Reb Chiya Bar Avin's view in Bava Kamma Vavim Beis, in a case where an animal trespasses and eats produce and we're besuffic, whether it's a Klusha produce or Shmena produce, Reb Chiya Bar Avin says that misafik you pay the Shmena produce. So that's actually one good case where he says Tchilasa Bipshia is Mechayev you for the potential of what your Nezek, what your Pshia might have caused, even if there's a Suffolk if it actually caused that. Does everybody see that view from Reb Chiya, Evan?
Yeah, the Reb Chiya case isn't like a Suffolk Nezek, though. Nezek was done. It's just a, I guess, like, to go back to the tab analogy, it's like, okay, so what's under the tab? But the tab was open.
Excellent point. But it is a good application of the Mishas HaPshia Mischayev theory in torts, at least with respect to the amount of damages.
Right. I just think the amount of damages is a somewhat separate question from payment of damage.
Totally. Like whether you were chayev, correct?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Totally. I agree with that. And, you know, I think that's an important point. But so for Meir Simcha's point here, okay, so maybe there's a view on Daf Vav that says there's significance to the Shas HaChiyav in terms of determining the amounts. But it doesn't sound like we apply this to the cases of whether we're besuffic, when we're besuffic, whether you're damaged altogether. And he says, that makes sense. Look what he says. With Kulu Pligyele, even with this Reb Chiya view, people disagree. And here's the important line. Cole, why don't you read this for us? Cole, did you get a chance to look at this or Marisim project? Are you comfortable reading it or you'd rather not?
I'm happy to read it. I didn't get a chance to look at it. I'm happy to read it. Vishlomo Bishomer Lischai Velchefetz Shenishmar Shapir Mitchil Chiyuv.
Maschil Chiyuvo.
Shapir Maschil Chiyuvo Mishas Hapshia. Fine. V'kiyis Rami Ones Shehayaba Belo Hapshia Chashvinan Le Lechazara.
Okay, so he's saying, look, it makes sense by a Shomer to be Chayiv for the bailment that you're watching. Your chiyuv starts mishas apshia, so that's all kosher. Aval,
lischayv lenezikin she'enu yadua im hazik machmas apshia shelo shamru. But to hold somebody liable, like a guy on the street to whom you have no connection, machmas apshia shelo shamru, because he didn't wasn't stewarding his property carefully. Atu Yischayev al kule alma midi dematzi lithlot bay. You know, it doesn't even get off the ground. Like, where are you able? Like, why are you pinning it on? There's no the pre. I get the interval. Let me just finish. Rakim nizak hadavar hazeh mimenu. Mimeno, excuse me. Achshaya sofa ba'ones haba minapshia lezemit starfinapshia hakodemes is a pashut. I think the idea here is that it's only the like vadai responsibility that a culpability rather that gives you a hook onto the guy who's just walking down the street with his ox, whereas in the case. Shomer, the existing relationship of Shmira is enough to push the burden onto the Shomer.
Yeah. Let's. I think that's right. Let's take a closer look at just this line. Atu Yischayev al kuli alma midi demotzi litlos bay. Does it make sense that if once I'm posheya, that we're going to hold like everybody accountable for like any nezek that could flow from their pshia? Now, to my mind, this is a very weak rhetorical exclamation.
I'm not even sure I understand quite what this phrase means that you have highlighted.
Atu Yischayev al kuli alma midi dematzi litlos bay. Does it make sense that every texter, anytime somebody texts and drives, we're going to hold them for like damage that could have resulted from their pshia? Or for every time that somebody walks their dog, so it's got a leash and it's chasav shia, and then somebody nearby gets harmed, right? So I guess it's chasav shia self bonus. We're going to hold the dog walker liable for somebody nearby tripping, which is an onus, even though like it the pshia, like I guess it, in theory the pshia could have event like it could have like the pshia could have been like chasav shia. I didn't walk my dog on a leash. So if Bones and turns out somebody nearby trips, so we're going to hold the dog owner liable simply because he was poshea. So does everybody see what he's trying to say or what he's doing? Or he's just trying to say it's absurd to talk about chasav shia sof bones in like pure nezikin cases. Like there's no connection. There's no real relationship. There's no basis to connect the dots between the nizak and the poshea. Whereas in a Shomrim case, it's much easier to connect those dots. Everybody see that? Because you're tasked with watching this item. And so the moment you're poshea on the item, it makes sense to hold you liable. A way of, Zachar, are you following this? The Or Samech? No?
I didn't get a chance to see it before Shir.
Shmuel, you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I mean, can't we just give the same answer we gave for the Shomrim, which is just like, yes, you are liable, but if you didn't damage, you just give back whatever wasn't damaged, which is the status quo?
Yeah, I agree with that, especially if there's no Neza, right? But I guess the question is, once it's philosophia sofa ba'ones, it's a lot harder to like connect. I think he's right. I think you're right, but I also think he's right that it is harder to connect the dots in a tort case. Because like in the Shomrim case, the relationship to the Nizak is automatic. I appointed you as my Shomer. The relationship to the Davar HaNizak is also automatic. You are the Shomer on item X. But when it comes to tort cases, there's just so much more indeterminacy, right? So I'm Poshea. But I'm poshea to like everybody around me when I drive negligently on the street, right? So it's like the metaphysical causal lines are just like so diffused to everybody, and it's just a mess to start assigning liability, right, on the basis of my pshia towards everyone. So that's partially what's motivating his intuition here.
I'm not sure that's the best way to put it. I mean, I like what you said about the Shomer. Well, the Shomer is an obligation, probably. to restore the object. Okay, having a shomer is I know that Rav Lichtenstein has a shoel as being like kind of a species of insurance, but the truth is that every shomer has that element where if something happens to this object, no matter what happens to the object, you have somebody you can at least presumptively blame because of a relationship, because at the end of the day, it's probably some kind of trust that's implicit in the, and that shows up in Hamafkit, actually, the kind of the trust aspect of the Shmira relationship has Nafkamina. But in the case of just a guy on the street, he doesn't owe you your objects in a way that the Shomer does. Stuff happens to your objects, and if he was hostile towards them or negligent with respect to his own property towards them, that's a reason to hold you liable. But there is no obligation at the end of the day for him to restore your property to you, right? Whereas there is for the shomer.
Okay.
That I think is
why not think that the like a tortious act like creates the duty of repair.
It does create the duty of repair if it's a certainty. Everybody agrees that tortious act creates a duty of repair if it was a certainty. The thing is, in a case where there's a doubt, I can see again. Like you don't have to say this, but I see why one would say it. In a case of a doubt, what's being extracted, maybe it's just a motzi mechaber of a riot, like the mechanics of it, something gets damaged, just describe the event, maybe.
And Cole froze on us. He froze on us. All right, we'll come back to Cole once his internet gets sorted out. Let me say this. This is a popular view in the Achronim. A lot of the Achronim here are skeptical about the application to Nezikin. Take here the Avi Ezri. The Avi Ezri cites the theory that you're chayiv for the Pshia, right? This is like we saw in the Rebbe Reuven today. That's the Poshea Kimazik, Chilasa Bipshia, Chai for the Pshia view. And he says, but Sarech Ian Li Tuva, how the Gemara applies the theory of Chilasa Bipshia Sofa Bones to Nezikin. And that just sounds really problematic, right? Shmuel, why don't you read this line for us? Vashamairi.
Vashamairi Lainyan Im Hizku Shel Achirim Lo Shach Lomar De Tekaf Mishas Pshia To Itchav. Chachza Shelo Hizku.
Kozman Shelo Hiziku. Meaning, wait, in the Zikin cases, Im Hiziku Shel Achirim, Lo Shach Lomar De Tekaf Mishas Pshia So Itchav. Kozman Shelo Hiziku. It's just not sensible to say that there's any type of liability. Kozman, that there's no actual Neza. Right, Shmuel? Do you agree with that? Do you guys agree with that? Do you think he's right to say that you can't have this notion of tekef mishas pshia ishtav dinachasav in tort cases? Lo shayach lomar tekef mishas adin?
I think you can say that it's like I think we use it in like terms of like defining identity in philosophy, like closest continuer or something like that. That like, I think it's not so unreasonable to say that like anytime I'm poshea, just walking on the street, I open that, like, were any Nezek to occur, if I am the closest, if I am the if my Pshia at the end of the day ends up being the closest Pshia to the damage happening, then I was chayav from the moment if I'm driving my car down a one-way street the wrong way and it ends up hitting someone, then yeah, like at the moment that I started driving down the one-way street, I open myself up to any sort of chiyuv that takes place because of that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't share this intuition at all of Abi Ezri that you can't have Mishas Pshia Eskayev and Azikin, right? It's true that it's less, like in Shomer, the object is picked out, you know, from the beginning, and the Nizak is picked out from the beginning. But I don't see why, you know, when I come barreling towards you on the one against the one-way street, yeah, I'm Poshea towards you right there. And Misha Sapshia, I'm Chayev, and the content gets picked out, gets filled out later. I have no problem with that. So Donnie seems sympathetic to this.
Yeah, no, just from our time above a comma, that sounds like there are many Rishonim that took that view, I thought.
Yeah. Yes. Like, why are these Rishonim so cautious? Why are these Achronim so cautious about, like, oh, it doesn't make sense to say Misha Sapshia Chayev, like, And why not say also that, like, Mishas Apshia Am Chayiv, even if we have to fill out the Nizak to whom Am Chayiv later on, right? It's like, when I enter the one-way street the wrong way, I open myself up to liability. Does the identity of the victim have to be picked out, Mishas Achiv? Maybe that could be filled out later, just like the amount could be filled out later. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I think...
Go ahead.
The question is there such a thing as, does the concept of Nezikin exist absent a Nizak?
Right. So I think Poshea Kemazik is a theory that basically says, yes, right? Or I would say, like, as long as there's a potential Nizak, you might say, fine. So I'll bite your bullet, Adin. Let's say I agree with you. This is a very interesting Chakira. I'll agree with you that if there's no one on the one-way street, then there's no Poshea Kemazik.
But someone could turn the corner.
Okay, let's say there is a runway street. So there is a victim who's being risked. There is a particular, right, like, token victim who's being harmed, who's being risked by my Pshia, then there is a Nizak. Like, why do we need the collision of molecules to get the shame Nizak? Why isn't the risk in position?
Yeah, so I would, like, we've seen before, like, we've seen... I don't know in which context exactly. I wouldn't go that far. I'd say that you have part of living in civilization is you have there's like some arevus responsibility that you have to everyone else. That even if right now it seems totally abandoned and it's 3 a.m., but someone could like that. I have that at that moment. I've broken the standards of care that I owe to everyone else, and I'm opening myself up to there is an Izak. It's everyone. And then,
yeah, so I think that's, I mean, I think it's an interesting question whether within the Poshea Kemazik theory, we're willing to go so far as to say that there's just this class, this unspecified class of Nizaks, right, which is how you want to put it, you know, even 3 a.m, there's Poshea Kemazik. I'm willing to concede maybe that there is no Poshea Kemazik in that case, but when there are specified potential Nizakim, meaning like, the person who walks on that one-way street at this hour, right? When I turn onto the street and start barreling towards him or her, I'm Poshea Kemazik and Misha Sapshia, you know, is Chayav bin Izakov. So you see that, Adin? So I think there's room within the Poshea Kemazik theory to think we do need a Niza. So let me put it a little differently.
But aren't we basically saying the same thing? Because we're saying that, like, is there a person to whom there's increased risk exposure? Whether it's the person who's literally on the street right now or the person who's around the corner from the street and might turn onto it, or a person who walks their dog at
yeah, whatever but time. My point is that there's no obvious risk exposure to the person who might turn on the street if they're not actually risked, right? I mean, or to put it differently, there might be a certain threshold of risk that has to be crossed in order to be considered poshea in the relevant sense.
Okay, yeah, I hear.
Yes, let me take the hands in a second. Let me just point out, notice that for the Abi Ezri, for Avshach, he says, Lo shayich lomar titekef mishas pshiaso eskayev kolzman shelo hiziko. So his issue is that there can't be a shame nezek without actual nezek, without physical collision of molecule harm, right? That's like the last clause there being the crucial clause, kolzman shelo hiziko. See that? So he's like balking on the whole Poshea Kemazik theory. Rabbi Reuven in the piece that we are reading, who engages in the same type of analysis. You know, he's also skeptical about the application to Nezikin. So you can see here, he says, oh, and if we say, in Nomar Divishomer Shapasha Mishas Shia, let's see if we got Zacharia. Zacharia, are you still with us? He's just a little white dot. See how Zacharia turned into a white dot? We might have lost Zacharia. Someone has to transfigure him back into a human being. Ah, he's back.
That's true.
Okay, but you're still alive in the flesh and blood.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. I'm not a that Star Trek compressor thing.
Just like, that's right.
I haven't become that.
Right. You're the real McCoy. So just take us through this Reb Reuven quickly, since you did a great job.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So this is still before he gives his answer. So he's kind of questioning. So the Gemara and Bava Kamma makes comparisons. Says, oh, just like there's Tchias of Shias of Onus by Shomrim, there's also that by Mazikin. But he says, this is very difficult. Well, he's questioned, how could you even make a comparison? How are Yesh L'chalik, right? Yesh L'chalik, the Shomer, high time of the Sof Ba'onas, and the line right above that, actually. Chayev Bishum Shinis Chayev Mishas Shia Tashlumi Hapitadon Shabashabo. But as we explained, the reason for the Shomer is because of, the Shas Shia Machayev. But he argues by Mazikin that's totally an unreasonable Machayev, totally inapplicable. In King Bashor Mazik Shapashabo, Va'adayin Leka Nizak, Hari Lo Shayev Klal, Shias Chayev Tashlumi Shum Nizak. Shum Nezik or Nizak?
Here I think it's Shum Nizak.
So his justification, why is Chiyuv Mishas Pshia unapplicable? Because he argues that since there is no address, there is no other party yet at the time of the Nezek, when you let your bull in the china shop let loose. So since no damage actually happened, there's no Nizak. And therefore, it's not relevant to say you're Chayiv if there's no one you're Chayiv to.
Yeah, so notice that whereas for the Avi Ezri, the issue was, oh, there can't be Nezek without Kol Zman Shelo Haziko. There can't be Nezek without physical harm. For a Reuven, as Zacharia put it, it seems to be more an issue like there's no addressee. There's no address, right? There's no Nezek. And how could you have a Chalos Nezek without a Nezek? So I think this is very interesting. There's something about the nature of torts that it's a relationship between a mazik and a nizak. And Kol Zman that there's no nizak, you can't even talk about. So Kol Zman, there's no specified nizak, there's no shame mazik. Does everybody see that?
Yeah.
That's a very important.
So what would it even sound like to disagree with that? Like what, you start off with a debt to society and then like it's ascribed to someone? Like.
Okay, so I want to say, so two things to be said here. Number one, remember when we were talking about the theory of Poshea Kemazik, I wanted to distinguish the theory of Poshea Kemazik from just like the Ishmira school in the Achronim, or are you liable for Nizke Mamon for lack of Shmira? And I was saying there's a difference between the Poshea Kemazik theory and the lack of Shmira school, because for the lack of Shmira school, they're thinking you're liable for not executing proper Shmira. But there's no specified victim. They don't require a specified victim, right? When they think of lack of shmirah as a mechayev for nezikin, they're saying like, oh, the fact that you didn't lock up your animal. I think poshea kemazik is that there is a relationship between a mazik and a nizak just through the risk imposition. Everybody see that? The important point here is I think oftentimes when Achronim talk about, oh, you're chayiv for just not being shomer, they're kind of assuming against this Reb Reuven that there could be a mechayiv in the Zikin apart from a specified nizak. Okay. I think we could accept the central claim of Reb Reuven here that you do need a nizak for a shame mazik. But we have a nizak through the imposition of risk, right? The person, the moment you're poshea klape somebody, that's when you impose their stuff to risk, or then you put them at risk. And there is a nizak. We just don't know the amount. Maybe he could collect zero, right? But there is a shame Nizek at this point. Everybody see that? So I think you might have an interesting nafkamina here. Yeah, to take Zacharia's analogy, if you let your bull loose in the wilderness, maybe there's ishmira in some sense, but there's no poshea kemazik, right? Because there's no victim who's being risked right now. But if you let your bull loose in a china shop, there is a specified victim, right? The china shop owner whose stuff is immediately at risk from your bull's hefkeros. And so there is a mazik and a nizak. What's unspecified is just the scope of the damages. Everybody see that? So I think that's a long-winded way of saying, I think Reuben's wrong to say that there's a leka nizak kodem shehuzak. I think there could be a nizak so long as there's a person who is being risked by your action. So we had a bunch of hands up. Let's take Adam Isaac. Donnie had a hand. We'll take Adam. We'll take Adam Isaac, Donnie, and then Shmuel.
There was a point where I was satisfied with this risk imposition read, but if I think about it more, I'm not as happy with it. Simply from the perspective, I think what's really going on here, at least seems to be what the Orson Math is talking about, is reliability for unknown damages. It's like this case would be like when you rent a car. If you were not careful to check whether there were dents in the car beforehand, they're going to hold you liable even if you didn't create that damage. It's like if I'm walking the street, I bump into someone because of my own pashia, and now their phone happens to be broken. They can't prove that I broke their phone by bumping into them. It could have been broken before. By the way, status quo is now that I am liable because of my pashia. We don't know what damage I caused. I can't have a reliable claim against any of their claims. Thus, I am now accountable for all their damages, whether known that I caused them or they're unknown that whether or not I caused them. I think that's what's opening up.
So you're saying that's not fair? You're saying this idea of like, meaning you're saying...
I don't think that's the main trouble here.
Meaning you're saying for the Ars Hameach, this claim of Ati Yishayev Kuliyam Amidi Dematzu Litlos Bei is like you're saying now. It's just unreasonable to start lumping on liability for all these unknown things.
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Meaning it's like a
counter. Yeah, I mean, I also like the what do you say right before? Avalid Chayir on the Ezekim She'inu Yadua Im Hezek. Right? Let me know if he caused this actual damage.
Well, let me ask you this, Adam. Well, what's the problem with that? Is that just like a policy consideration that like, hey, you know, we don't want people to become like overly, like we don't want to saddle them with too many expenses type of a concern?
I think it's a question of where does the claim come from the onset? To just say someone was walking the street and he wasn't looking and I tripped across the street. Like, oh, I'm not gonna blame him now. What relationship truly is there besides the closeness of us to each other that I really had to rely on to make this claim?
Right. But I don't know. Is it unreasonable to say that that's a risk you incur when you're poshea? Like, don't be poshea and then you won't be liable for... the broken iPhone.
Then we have to find some reason to say that there is this sort of universal connection, this universal contract between all individuals walking in their Shisar Abed.
Yeah, I love the idea. No, this is like, that's
it's a very nice idea, but
society is a system of social cooperation, and we're all metaphysically entangled through the risks that we impose.
But even in that case, I think even Hume would have trouble drawing some type of connection between the two people in terms of the causality.
I think it's just like, you know, the briskers say about Gudasik and Lovewood, and, you know, you see like the walls, you know. So too, like you should see the Poshea Kimazik connections. It's like a halachic man only sees damage when he sees broken fenders on the road. Sorry. A non-halachic man only sees damage when they see broken fenders on the road. But a halachic man sees damage every time, like, one person is poshea, and there's risks everywhere. No?
In that case, I don't, because no, so here's the thing. When you're being poshea, like, mathematically, here's why it doesn't work. If you want to talk about risk theory, right, being poshea in certain cases really only makes sense if you truly cause the damage. right? If we could prove, like, that's where risk theory comes into practice. Because if we always held you liable for everything happened to anyone around you every time you were Proshaya, then mathematically wouldn't be equivalent to causing that damage on purpose once. It'd be more expensive. Theoretically, it should come out to be exactly the same. Otherwise, you have an arbitrage opportunity. Someone should be making money off of it.
Okay, so it's an interesting point. What's that Din telling us here in the chat?
If you can turn on the setting in NBA 2K that, like, you can see everyone's field goal percentage from exactly where they're standing at every minute. So, if you move in or out. So, like, this is, like, you can see everyone's risk, like, my risk, like, I've caused 0%, 1%, 2% risk with every action that I do, every step.
That's right. When you put on your Poshea Kimaze glasses, that's what you... That's
right, so otherwise, we now have to actually discount, you know, the relationship by the probability of them actually causing that.
Yeah.
But we don't do that. We don't say that. We don't say, okay, now you were 20 feet away. I broke my iPhone because you were not looking. So now iPhone's worth $800, but the probability of causing it is actually 2.5%, so we're paying 2.5%. Do we say that? We can't even do the math there.
Right. I would just say that there. It's an interesting question. We have to figure out whether we take this to its, like, extreme conclusion, like you're saying. My point is just that we could preserve this notion of there being a Niza even prior to the Nezek occurring, or I should say more precisely, even prior to the physical harm transpiring. So long.
Okay. I do think we still need to come out with some type of, there needs to be some claim there. Otherwise, there's no end in Sof of the Bar.
Okay. That sounds like a, in the Dover Sof sounds like a policy consideration, you know? And, you know, okay, so policy consideration could, like, bear on the moral halakhic considerations, you know? But it doesn't mean that that undermines the theory of Poshea Kimaze. Great point. Let's hear Donnie and then Shmuel.
I put down my hand just because I don't think it's substantive right now. I'm just throwing it out there from,
okay.
I think 2 years ago, Liad would always bring this up. There's a question of viewing Nezikin in a Mazik-centric way versus a Nizak-centric way.
Yeah.
So I feel like that might have a lot of bearing on this conversation because I think a lot of us are viewing it in the Nizak way that, like, there has to be someone who's been damaged. But if you're looking just in a Mazik and you have caused this issue in society, then it's very easy to see this.
100%, yeah. I think Donnie's right to say that the Poshea Kimazik extension to Nezikin works out much nicer. If you think of Nezikin as Mazik centric, right? Like to penalize Mazikin or to hold Mazikin to account. Whereas if it's fundamentally reparative, like to make people whole for the damage they suffered, then it's less likely that you'll be Poshea Kimazik. You'll be high on Poshea Kimazik. Yeah, great point, Donnie. Or Shmuel.
Yeah, so instead of saying that the existence of the second party makes you a Mazik via Poshea Kimazik, can we say that the existence of the second party makes it Shia in the first place?
It's interesting. I mean, you want to
say that sort of defends everyone we've sort of been rejecting out of hand, saying it's crazy that you would be connected to everyone. It's such a weak connection. But no, you are connected to everyone, but there was nothing, there was no issue until now. Now that there's this other person on the road, what you're doing is negligent.
Yeah. And you want to say that by definition, Shia means like Shia, Klape, and Nizak, right?
I guess. I don't, correct me, maybe this is what you're saying, but if there's a difference between me texting while driving on a highway and me texting while driving in the middle of a field, like that there is no one, I guess, yeah, that is what you're saying, that there is no one to, that I'm being negligent towards. But you could even say differently. You can say that it's not negligence in the first place, not that it's not towards anyone. maybe that is the same thing, but yeah, fine. So that's my point.
Right, right. Meaning what I was saying before, the reason why I like this distinction is because the arachronim would talk about lack of shmira as sufficient mechayev, right? So we could talk about going back to Adin's case where you drive backward, you drive the wrong way in a one-way road, right? So suppose there's nobody on the road, but there could have been, right? So I would say there's pshia there because you easily could have harmed somebody, right? There could have been a victim there. But you weren't poshea to any nizak because there happened to have been no one on the road. So nobody was in fact risked by your behavior. Now, if there was somebody on the road, not only was there pshia, there was poshea kemazik because you risked a particular nizak. You put him in harm's way, right? You're saying maybe there's only pshia in the case where there's a potential victim, correct? Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I think it's an interesting question about whether it makes sense to distinguish between just the definition of pshia as distinct or being identical from pshia klape and niza. Yeah, I think it's a very fruitful line of inquiry that should be pursued. I agree with that. Great. So I wanna now, in the last 10 minutes here, make the following point to nail home this notion of pshia klape hamiza. So let me just say this very quickly. There are two gemaras where the gemara extends tfas of pshia sofabo and estenazikin. One is the case on Chaf Aleph in Baba Kama. Hakele v'hagadisha kaftu me'rosh agag v'shavu es hakelim. The Gemara has a discussion here. You bring animals up to your roof, and then they fall off. That's the Gemara's diak here. Time of the kafzu hanaflu pater. So you're posheya by bringing your animal up to your roof. Apparently, the Gemara assumes that's pshia klape, the risk of them jumping. Apparently, animals have a tendency to jump off roofs. But it's ones if they happen to slip off the roof. Not sure why the Gemara assumes that it's ones if they slip, but it's whatever. So the Gemara says, Alma kasavar tchilas pshia sof bones pater. The particulars of the case don't matter. What's important is that the Gemara assumes the theory of tchilas pshia sof bones applies to pure nizikin, to nizke mamon. Right? This is a case where you're not a shomer, it's your animal. If your animal is mazik, kalim at the bottom through jumping or slipping off the roof, the Gemara thinks that you'll be subject to the analysis of tchilas pshia sof bones. Everybody follow? Okay. That's a clear application to a Nezikin case. Lanyas Daiti, that just proves that these Achronim are wrong. I mean, the Achronim who are all hesitant about applying this to Nezikin, they're clearly inconsistent with the Gemara's unhesitancy or the Gemara being conciliatory to extending the doctrine to Nezikin. The second case is a Gemara on Nun Vav Med Aleph in Bava Kama. Also a case of classic Nezikin, not Shomrim. A case of an animal that you had, it was locked up behind a weak wall, a kosel ra'ua, and the animal ends up digging its way out from under the wall. So it's tchilas pshia sof bones. And the Gemara assumes that case where there's tchilas pshia and that the wall was weak, but sof bones because the animal dug its way out anyway, will be subject to the machlokas of tchilas pshia sof bones chayev rapater. That's the Gemara over here. L'vandam tchilas pshia sof bones chayev, Michael Neymar, blah, blah, blah. Here too, the Gemara assumes that tchilas pshia sof bones is relevant to Mezikin. Now, there's a third Gemara, a very complicated Gemara, on Nun Beis Amid Aleph from Bava Kama. This is a case where you have a boar. I think Donnie, you'll remember from Bava Kama days, case of the boar where you cover it in a way that it'll withstand oxen that walk over it, but the cover is not strong enough to withstand gemalim. Okay? So you're posheya with respect to shvarim, you're not posheya with respect to gemalim. And then what happens is that termites come and eat through the cover. So it's like tchilas, it seems to be like a case of tchilas pshia sof bones. Okay. the cause of the harm is the fact that termites came, totally unrelated to the fact that you're a posheh with respect to oxen, but gutshmir with respect to gmalin. The termites eat it through, and then a gummel falls in. So the Gemara says, do we say, miyamrinan migud havet posheh itzel gmalim, havet posheh anami le'inyan hasla? Odilma lo amrinan migud. Do we say, since you're posheh with respect to risk A, that you're considered to be posheh with respect to risk B also, even though it's really an onus? Now, it's complicated Gemara. A lot of Rishonim here are troubled. Why didn't the Gemara explicitly say tchilas of pshiyas of bonus? Why does the Gemara have this weird phrase of migo de pasha le'inyan X, pasha le'inyan Y? Everybody see that? This is a real concern for some Rishonim. Tosfos here says, for example, following along that line, bim tomar ki lo amrinan migo, even if we don't say this doctrine of migo de pasha le'inyan X, pasha le'inyan Y, Nami mischayev de tchilasa b'pshia hu le'inyan shvarim. Why don't we say tchilasa b'pshia sof bones? And Tosas has an interesting answer. V'tiretz b'riva de lo aminan tchilasa b'pshia sof bones al hecha shem machmas ha'pshia ba'an ones. So Tosas' answer is pretty interesting. He says, oh, tchilasa b'pshia sof bones is not relevant here because it's not a case of ones haba machmas ha'pshia. And that's why the Gemara needs the separate doctrine of miga de pasha le'inyan x, pasha le'inyan y. Everybody good with this? This is so far just a little background. Tosfos is assuming that Migo de Pasha is not a doctrine of Tchilas of Pshiyas of Bones. It's some other consideration that just seems to be very similar. Now, there's a very interesting machlokas here between the Rambam and the Ravid. Anybody get a chance to see this yet? This machlokas Rambam Ravid? No? No one chance to see it? Okay. I'll save this mostly. Anybody
is this around where he thinks you're chayev even for onus lobach maschia?
That seems to be the Ravid's view on this hasaga here. Not sure if you. That seems to be the Ravid's here.
Yeah, I might be making up a sign.
Okay, so how about this guy? So. Nobody saw the Evan Ozel here yet? Okay. So we'll talk about this on Tuesday, and then we'll wrap up Chesed Shiasef Bones then, which is fine. But let me just tell you what's important here. What's important here is that the Ravid thinks we reject the Maskana of the Gemara on Nun Beis and Bava Kamma. The Maskana of the Gemara is just that we don't say migu de have a pasha le'inyan gemalim, have a pasha le'inyan asla. That's the Gemara's maskana. So we don't say that because you're a posheh with respect to one species, that you're chayev for the sofo being cut, eaten through with the termites. To make a long story short, the Rambam paskins like the maskana of the Gemara. Okay. That's the Rambam's tzak. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid thinks that we throw out the whole Gemara on Nenbeis. Because once we paskin tchilasa b'pshia sofa b'ones chayiv, we'd have to paskin that tchilasa b'poshea le'inyan gemalim is chayiv for sofa b'ones le'inyan termites. Okay, that's the Ravid's view. So the Ravid's view is that basically the maskana of the Gemara Nun Beis is just assuming tchilasa b'pshia sofa b'ones pater. Once we paskin tchilasa b'pshia sofa b'ones chayiv, we're going to hold chayiv in that Gemara. That's the Ravid's view. Now, a lot of the Achronim point out that's not really ones haba machmas apshia. So, like Tosfos said in that sugya. So it's strange that the Ravid thinks you could be chayiv for tchilas of apshia sofa b'ones in that case, when there's pretty much a consensus amongst the Rishonim, especially the Rif, who the Ravid is quoting, that you need ones haba machmas apshia. Okay. Rav Isser Zalman works within that problem, and he says a huge chiddush. He says we have to distinguish between tchilas b'pshia sofa b'ones in shomrim and tchilas b'pshia sofa b'ones in nezikin. Very crucial distinction. He thinks you only need ones haba machmas apshia in shomrim. You don't need it in nezikin. which I think is the exact opposite of what all the aphornim were saying until now. Because all the aphornim until now were saying that it's problematic to apply tefillah shia sofa bones to nezikin. It's more obvious in shomrim. And Avisar Zalman is saying, we'll go further when we apply it in nezikin. We'll hold you chayiv even for one shalom machmas apshia. Did everybody get the broad gist of the Avisar Zalman? So in nezikin, we're going to be more prone to hold you liable for tefillah shalom apshia because we're not going to require ones haba machmas apshia. Whereas in shomrim, we require ones haba machmas apshia to hold pshia to hold you chayiv. Ayin sham. So I want you to look at that. The next thing that you should look at, which is very, very crucial, is this chiddush arrive in a Bava Kama Nun Beis on page 29. What he says in this last, in this inami here, I'll just read it right now, but I want to spend more time on it, is he thinks in the chiddushim here that the Gemara Nun Beis does not apply tchilaso b'shia sofa b'ones to the case of the camels and the termites. The reason being, and this is the crucial chiddush, is that we only say tchilaso b'pshia sofa b'ones chayev bizman shehapshia v'ha'ones shneihem b'nizak echad. It has to be that I was poshea with respect to you, and then you were harmed. We can't have surrogates for tchilaso b'pshia sofa b'ones. I think this is a crucial doctrine. And this gets to Shmuel's point and to the distinction between generally what's ishmira, what's a lack of shmira, and what's poshea kemazit. You see, if you think of pshia as just being a lack of shmira, so we'll say, oh, you're liable for lack of shmira, right? What do I care if my lack of shmira was originally towards A and then the harm occurred to B? What's critical for holding me liable is the general fact of my lack of shmira. The Ravid here says no. When we talk about pshia triggering liability, it's got to be a pshia with respect to a nizak echad. And once you're poshea with respect to that nizak, you could be chayiv for onsin that occurred to that nizak along the way. But you see that? But it's almost by definition, I think, in this Ravid, to be poshea towards somebody or to be chaya for a pshia towards somebody is that it's towards someone. So let me say a little better. To be chaya for pshia is that there is a specified nizak. But you can't be poshea le'inyan Reuven and therefore chaya for sofa bones le'inyan Shimon. Does everybody see that? So I think that's a really important notion about like the nature of nezek being a bipolar relationship between a mazik and a nizak. And when we talk about chiyuv and pshia, there's got to be a specified nizak, which is consistent with the concern of the chiddush of Rabbi Reuven. But I think that the Ravid actually, while he's sympathetic to that, he agrees that pshia with respect to a nizak is morally significant, right? You don't need actual nezek to say that you're a poshea with respect to a nizak. In nezikin, there is such a thing as pshia klapi somebody, which might trigger this prima facie chiyuv. Okay, so we'll pick up with that on Tuesday. Look briefly at the discussion on page 30-31, and that'll be a wrap for tefillah pshia sofa b'ones, and that'll bring us back to Daf Tzadi Gimel, where I want to talk about this interesting distinction there between a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar with respect to having to pay roim to help you save the item. All right? Shkayach, everyone. Great to be back in action, and we'll be full steam ahead on Tuesday. Take care, everyone. Yes. Have a good Shabbos. See you Tuesday.